Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight America continues for another hour, and I'm glad that we're here together, warming each other up the only way we know how, through 50,000 watts. Oh, the impeachment talk. Oh, man, I'm not looking forward to this week. It's just, this is what's going to happen. Every single person that has some sort of notoriety in the political world is going to just beg for their time in front of a camera, and then they're going to try to outdo themselves one after another. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not looking forward to that. Joining us now to talk a little bit about impeachment and some of the proceedings that go on there, our friend from Harris, Dahl, Fisher & Young. He is a frequent contributor to KMOX all across the day. I don't think he ever rests. Brad Young, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. And by the way, for the next week, the most dangerous place in America is will be standing between Adam Schiff and a TV camera.
I know. He's got a
That's the most restless dangerous way back place in America.
I know.
Fallujah? It's like a Girl Scout camp compared to what it'll be between Adam Schiff and a TV camera.
Well, he's going to run and hide if some of these speculative things actually come to be true. Let's say more information about him and the whistleblower come out there, and there was some sort of, you know, weaseling into trying to coach him what to say in order to get this thing through. Now, if that's the case, he'll be in hiding, and we don't have to worry about seeing him. But Brad Young, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the procedure. We've spoken in the past about impeachment, and I feel like, there's a few things that happen in radio every day. Let me just back up for a second. Number one, whenever it rains or whenever it snows, we get about a dozen calls in the newsroom from people saying, remind people to turn on their lights. Okay, about a dozen. And every time we use the term impeachment, this happens every time. Everyone has to put the little disclaimer, impeachment doesn't mean the president's going to be removed from office. It's just the procedure it goes through. So I feel like we have to give that disclaimer right off the top of the bat. But I wanted to ask you about this anonymous whistleblower. And the thing that I wanted to talk about was the procedure of how someone anonymously bringing up accusations against someone would be brought up in a court of law and how that differs when it comes to an impeachment proceeding like the president of the United States and between Congress.
Well, the biggest distinction that we're seeing playing out right now in the media, Ryan, is involving the Sixth Amendment. Mm-hmm. Under the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, you have a right to face your accuser in a criminal proceeding. Mm-hmm. And so there's a legitimate question right now. It is a truly legitimate question as to whether the Sixth Amendment applies to the present situation. You can make arguments both ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the one hand, impeachment is a political process. Mm-hmm. It's not a criminal trial, so that on the one side you can say, well, then the Sixth Amendment wouldn't apply because it only applies to a criminal proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's in the Constitution. It's really what's called a quasi-criminal proceeding because rules of evidence apply, and at least in the Senate, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court presides over the proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so there it seems like it is a criminal proceeding. So there's a question as to whether or not President Trump in this situation has a right to confront his accuser under the Sixth Amendment. At this point, we simply don't know.
It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out because a lot of online sources have indeed named who they believe is the whistleblower. There were other sources that had pretty much given every detail and clue you can possibly give without the person's name. There have even been some commentators that have been on some of the major networks that have used the name. It's kind of like taboo at this point. They feel like if you give the name out, you're saying the F word on their program. You know, they're treating it like a dirty word. That's the thing. I think if you're someone that is accusing the president of the United States of a crime that is worthy of removing him from office, that you should be able to, it should be a public thing. It should be a very public thing. And the fact that you have to hide behind other politicians to do it and use intermediates like Adam Schiff or whatever to call and try to protect it, that to me is very questionable to even bring up proceedings to begin with, which to me indicates it's 100% political.
Well, you are 100% correct, Ryan, and let me tell you why. I've got literally the whistleblower statute in front of me, and there's actually multiple whistleblower statutes, but I've got an amalgamation of them all right here in front of me. There's nothing in any of these whistleblower statutes that requires the media or anyone else outside of the executive branch to be silent about the name of the accuser. Now, what is here is the following. It would be unlawful for any member of the executive branch to retaliate or initiate any reprisals against the whistleblower. And so you can imagine that if Trump starts tweeting out the guy's name, starts tweeting out his address, starts tweeting out his Social Security number, okay, that could be considered reprisal or recriminations against the whistleblower. He could be in violation of federal law for that. But if Camo X with 50,000 red hot watts broadcasts it, that's not part of the executive branch and is not covered under any of the 17 that I've found so far whistleblower statutes that may apply to this situation. So really what we have here, bringing it back to what you initially said, I think it's just like what we saw in the Kavanaugh hearings, where you don't want to give someone's name so that you give them an aura of truthfulness because their stories cannot be challenged if they're anonymous.
Interesting. That may be part of it. That's an actual fascinating way to look at it. I am more curious about the relationship between this person and Adam Schiff in the Democrat Party. And in fact, I would love to see any conversations that the two had leading up into this complaint, mostly because I've seen some prominent Republicans, including Lindsey Graham and also Rand Paul, who have been out there championing and saying that this person should have to testify. They should be doing this in public. I mean, considering the allegations that the person's bringing up. And there's also questions about it, what they actually saw personally or what they saw second or third hand or whatever. How far down the line did this telegraph game play? And then you also see that they're questioning if they did talk to Democrats before putting in this into place, and they talked to Adam Schiff. Was there any coaching? Was there any manipulation on how they were going to handle this? Was there a way that they put it together so that the whistleblower complaint was molded based on what Adam Schiff believes and not what the actual whistleblower believes? In fact, it's weird to even call this person a whistleblower to begin with. To me, it just seems like someone that had some grievances against his employer and decides to go out there with some water cooler chat that they picked up on.
Well, you're exactly right. And in fact, there is a legitimate legal argument here as to whether or not this person even qualifies as a whistleblower. Because, again, I've got the whistleblower statute right in front of me. And one of the elements in being a whistleblower, it requires that the focal point or the subject matter involved in the alleged whistleblowing cannot be a legitimate dispute on policy. That's in the whistleblower statute. So if you look at President Trump's position here, which is essentially that there was no quid pro quo, that I was wanting the Ukrainian government to try to get to the bottom of some of this corruption in government, and that there was no quid pro quo, that would be a legitimate function. So in this instance, there is a legitimate issue as to whether or not this was a disagreement over policy or whether it really did violate federal law. So this individual may not even be covered under the whistleblower statute. That's yet to be determined.
Yeah. And I also find that they're going to be playing this game, which is, you know, just trust me game, as in I might not be able to prove this, but just trust me. And that's how we're going to hold a impeachment hearing, which is so ridiculous. Brad Young, are you going to be filling in or stepping in anytime soon or maybe going to some overtimes?
Well, I will be filling in because, as folks probably know, Ryan, I think you have about, 37 weeks of vacation a year? something like that.
You're mistaking me with Charlie Brennan. No, I have.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
But I do have some pretty good vacation time built up. I didn't take any at the start of the year, and I pushed it all till the end of the year. So I have the week of Thanksgiving off, and I have the last 2 weeks of the year off, which I'm pretty excited about.
So, yeah, I'll be filling in for you on Monday and Wednesday of Thanksgiving week.
Oh, neat. That's awesome. Are you going to be participating in the holiday radio show this year?
Rumor has it that I am, but I haven't seen the script yet. And the other thing that Mr. Kevin Killeen told me is that any information I glean from the script is covered under the whistleblower statute. So I cannot disclose anything in the script. So
okay.
That's exactly where we are.
Well, we have some insider information. I was talking to Kevin, and he was off of work today. And he said today was the day that he was allowed to work on the script, so he may have completed it today. Now, no one's seen the script yet because it wasn't complete the last time I spoke with him. It could be right now. He could be working late into the midnight hours onto this thing. I don't know. But soon enough, we'll be able to see the masterpiece that Kevin Killeen puts on. I hope everyone comes out to see the holiday radio show this year.
Oh, it'll be fabulous. You know, call your friends, wake the neighbors. It'll be an event.
Yeah, that's right. Brad Young, Hairstyle Fisher and Young, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Ryan.
Brad's the best. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric KMOX guest line. So let's just talk about these impeachment hearings, and this is going to happen eventually. It's weird to me. I feel like Nancy Pelosi and them are dragging their feet. I feel like if they had enough support, they would have gone through the next step already. Like, it seems like they might be dragging this along a little bit, which doesn't surprise me. It seems like that's a lot of the strategy the Democrats have been using the last 3 years. But nonetheless, we have this whistleblower. Does anyone, let me just throw this out. Maybe we can just do a poll of the show. Okay, let's just get a pulse of people listening right now all across St. Louis, all across Missouri, all across 35 states that this signal covers. All right, let's just take a quick pulse. Through the impeachment process, do you believe that there will be enough evidence to remove the president of the United States from office? 436-7900, locally here, you can call or text, or 800-925-1120, okay? Now, here, this is what I'm going to say, because there's a big distinction, because everyone says there's no way the Senate will ever vote to remove Donald Trump from office. It's Republican-led, and they just don't see that happening, okay? So let's take that off the table. Let's just say, do you think there will be enough evidence presented that would warrant removing Donald Trump from office? Let's put it that way. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's do just a straw poll, or in general, let's just do some phone calls for the rest of the hour. You tell me how you're feeling on this one. It's Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back. I really wanted to hear you tell me just the pulse, how are you feeling on this whole impeachment thing? So let's take the Senate off the table. And a lot of people say there's no way, based on what we know, that the Senate would ever vote to remove Donald Trump from office. So you may get a House vote, but there's no way you'll actually get to the point where you'll be legitimately wondering if the president of the United States will be removed from office through this impeachment process. However, let me just ask you, when the different testimonies are out there and you get to look at some of the different evidence that is presented during this procedure, do you believe there'll be enough to convince you the president of the United States should be removed from office? So some people called in and said no, and they couldn't wait the line. Really, honestly, I want you to tell me. I want you to hold on and tell me, because I want to hear it from you, and I want to hear why you believe that. The phone number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And honestly, we've gotten a lot of no's so far. I'd love to talk to some people that believe the answer is yes. I really do. Come on, if you're a yes, you better call in now and tell me. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling in first. Hey, Kevin.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I know you want a yes, but I'm definitely giving a no.
Yeah. No, I just want what you believe. That's what I want. Sure.
Yeah, it's a no, and I just personally think that once Barr's done with his complete investigation, that the whole tables are going to turn. And I think we're going to see some pretty amazing things happen when that takes place.
When the tables have been turned, what do you think could happen?
Well, I just think that Barr, sometimes you got to sit back and pay attention to those that have been the least quiet. And I think there's the investigations that are going on in regards to the Russian investigation. I think there's going to be a lot of things that come out. And I think there's going to definitely be people that are going to be running scared, because I personally believe that there has been and continues to be a plot that, because I don't know how you get through 2 years of the last debacle we just went through, mm-hmm. and nothing. And here we go again. And I'm just, before, no sooner than he got elected, they were calling for impeachment.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's a setup.
I can tell you why I believe nothing happened during the Obama administration, and I think it's a pretty simple answer. I believe that they did everything they could to hide as much evidence as possible, so a lot of this stuff wouldn't come to light until they were out of office. And that way, the pressure would be off. And you know what? As much as that's been turned over during the Trump administration, if the same amount of evidence or the same amount of requested documents were turned over during the Obama administration, I think we'd be having a different conversation about his legacy. However, that didn't seem to happen. And you saw, for example, Hillary Clinton that went through some pretty great lengths in order to try to hide the requested documents through discovery. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons.
Anytime you do what she did, you got to look at it and wonder.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. So,
okay, we'll Kevin. See. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. All right. That's a good call from Kevin. Let's go to Lou in St. Louis. Hi.
Hi. I don't think he'll be removed from office. I mean, if Bill Clinton did not get removed from office in his impeachment for lying under oath, I don't see how Donald Trump can get removed from office if he gets impeached.
That's interesting. Either way, we look back at the Clinton impeachment and how that handled itself and how it played out with itself. It's interesting because people always believe that it had to do with the sex, but it was more. It was a different reason why he was impeached. But when we look at Donald Trump, I don't see the politicians nearly as vicious as they are now back then. I mean, right now, the politician and the level of people out there just trying to make a name for themselves, completely different story compared to, you know, the 90s were so civil compared to the, you know, 2019s right now. So you never know.
Right. It's like ever since he was elected, they've been like what seems to me like a pack of ravenous, rabid wolves out to, you know, kill him, you know. And I cannot stand, I didn't vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, but I cannot stand people ganging up on somebody, you know, and that's all it's been ever since he's been elected. Anybody who's at all balanced can see that.
Yeah. All right, Lou, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye. Here's the number, 436-7900. You can call or text that line. Or 800-925-1120. Like a text message that came in. One said no, another one said no, not enough evidence. If anything, Biden should be impeached or not allowed to run for president, he said. Oh, that's interesting. Let's go to Dave, who's calling in. Hi, Dave.
Hey there. Good evening. As far as I'm concerned, there's three issues here. Number one, the Bidens. And while he was vice president, mm-hmm. his son, with that cushy no-show, well-paying job.
Yeah,
that's fishy, especially since it's in the second issue is the Ukraine is famous for corruption. Mm-hmm. The Obama administration sent a whole bunch of people over there, set up an anti-corruption committee, And two of the leaders of that committee have since been convicted by Ukraine of meddling in our election.
It's interesting. But, you know, Dave, they're out there telling you that there wasn't even a little bit of corruption when it came to removing that prosecutor that wanted to look into it. There's not even nothing to that. And you're the one that's terrible for even bringing it up.
And the people saying that, of course, they're going to say that. Uh-huh. Biden's going to say that, and his supporters. Yeah, he was corrupt. That's why we needed to remove him. It didn't have anything to do with him wanting to talk to my son about the investigation.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me mention this, too. Are you saying that you and your family members have never been contacted by a foreign company and asked to sit on their board for $50,000 a month with having no experience? You're telling me that's never happened to you or anyone you've known?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is this is such an extraordinary thing to happen to anyone. There's no coincidence that it happened to Hunter Biden.
That's right. And then the last thing, when you take those two things, a history of corruption, the cushy position Hunter Biden got while Joe was vice president, which is obviously doesn't look good, whether it's criminal or not, I don't know. But then also foreign aid that's given to countries all over the world by us comes with the quo or the quid, no corruption.
Oh, yeah.
If you're corrupt, you're not getting military or humanitarian aid because we know it's not going to get to the people. And so there's almost a built-in quid pro quo in the whole system.
Yep. All right, Dave, thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We're going to take some more of your calls, and I do want to hear your thoughts on this. And this is the premise that we're asking the question for this hour. Do you believe there'll be enough evidence presented during these proceedings for you to believe the president of the United States should be removed from office? Take away the vote on the Senate. We know the House is going to vote for it. Let's take a vote away from the Senate and just ask you, do you think there'll be enough presented? And I want to get your just raw opinion on this. Whoever's listening right now, you can call 800-925-1120. We have to get to the weather. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX. All right. Thank you for everyone that held on there for the few minutes. Yeah, it's still cold out. We're going to take some more calls on this. And I had our friend Brad Young on the start of the hour to discuss the impeachment proceeding, at least this anonymous whistleblower. If they should testify, if they should be anonymous, what's the point of being anonymous? I mean, it's some pretty bold claims if you're going to try to base an entire impeachment, rolling the ball towards impeachment, at least, based on someone that brought up an anonymous I heard someone else say moment, which is pretty ridiculous if you think about it. But in the end, I want to get your opinion on this. And what your opinion is, do you believe enough evidence will be presented to remove Donald Trump from office? Not if he'll remove himself or not if someone else will remove him. I'm just asking, do you think there'll be enough evidence? And you tell me. Let's go to Scott in Crystal City. Hi, Scott.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I do not believe there will be enough evidence, and I believe the Democrats really think they have no chance of winning this with the candidates they have running.
Is that right?
And I believe a lot of this stuff is taken right out of their playbook. Everything they're accusing him of has been proven the Democrats were involved in. And talk about collusion, they did it with our own FBI. I believe their number one goal is if he does win to plant some sort of seed of doubt in the voters' minds about him. I think this comes down to the Supreme Court not allowing him to put another person in the Supreme Court if Ruth Bader Ginsburg cannot serve out her term. That would be the coup de grace for the Republicans against the Democrats. And I believe that's what their main goal is, because I think they really deep down believe Bloomberg wouldn't have jumped into the race. But you have all these guys running now. Even Bloomberg has doubts about all these candidates, so he got into the race. I don't think they know. I think they believe they have no chance of beating Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I believe it does come down to the Supreme Court, really, honestly, sir.
That's what they're looking for. You know, Scott, I haven't heard from you in a while. You sound a little different. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir. I was just at the doctor today. I got a checkup and might have to have a little some more seizure surgery going on there soon, but
you know, you do sound a little different, and it sounds, I don't know, just from the last time I spoke to you, so I'm glad you're doing okay. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
Right, bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, I love Scott. I haven't heard from him in a while. I'm glad he's checking in. Let's go to Wayne in St. Peter's. Hi.
Hey, I say capital N, capital O.
Just two capital letters side by side. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, you can tell they don't have much to go on. They keep making all kinds of errors and what have you. And I don't remember the House member back a couple of years ago said on the microphone that the only chance we got to beat Trump is to impeach him.
Oh, a lot of them have said that, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he said it the public first one, I think, anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, these aren't public investigations. They can't hold your own and not tell the other side what you got.
Yeah.
And have to answer. So I just think they can. So
okay.
You know, and if the Democrats should do it, then we'll get the old people and the babies locked up because they're coming for them.
Thank you, Wayne. Good to hear from you.
Okay, hey, remember last time I talked, if you want calls, it's either Blues or Cardinals or politics.
Well, it was worthy of it today. Yesterday, not so much, but it seemed to fit today. So thank you very much, okay. Wayne. Good to hear from you.
Enjoy you. Bye.
All right, that's good. Let me go to John, who's calling in Ferguson. Hi, John.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Good.
You're probably not going to like what I have to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mm-hmm. Don't take this as a personal attack. I listen to your show every night, and I love it. Mm-hmm. And normally I find your shows to be very balanced and objective. But tonight I thought I was listening to Fox News. First there was Brad Young, who obviously is a pro-Trumper, reading us the whistleblower regulations. And then you obviously are leaning more toward, just based on my interpretation of your comments, you're leaning more toward supporting Trump than not supporting Trump. I write a political blog, and I'm not here to advertise that. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I don't like any of them. But my point is that this whole thing is being tried in the new public square, which is Twitter. You read the Twitter feeds, and you can build a case no matter what you read, okay? Mm-hmm. I would suggest that people go back and read Federalist 57, which is Alexander Hamilton's defense of the impeachment clause in the Constitution.
Okay.
And he talks about how impeachment is not a criminal trial.
Right.
We have lawyers, we have law school deans and everybody talking about all this evidentiary gobbledygook, and I'm not a lawyer. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a political scientist. I'm not a lawyer. But Hamilton even talks about it. He says in there that because of the nature of impeachment and because of the fact that it's a political exercise and not a legal exercise, a lot of times the outcome will not be based on evidence, but will be based on the passions of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have here are two sides that are equally dug in terms of their positions. Okay. You got the Democrats who want to hang the president from a light post. You have the Republicans who want to basically reopen the Russian investigation refute everything that's in the Mueller report or whatever. There's so much of it I get confused sometimes of who's arguing what. I listen to Rush Limbaugh. He's, foaming at the mouth constantly about and just parroting the White House and Republican Party talking points. I would suggest this. I think we ought to do like we did during Watergate. We have our open hearings. We listen to the evidence and then let Congress exercise its constitutional prerogative to impeach and remove.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think he'll be removed. I don't think there's enough evidence here. I think what he did was not in the best interest of the United States. But the president has a broad range of powers and can exercise a lot of discretion when it comes to foreign policy. And so you have to prove intent. And I just don't know if the burden of proof is going to be there to justify his removal from office.
So let me tell you what I got from everything you just said there. I got a few things. The one thing that I got from what you just said, and this is going to be me cherry picking it because I can. You said that, of course, this is not treated like a trial, which, by the way, exactly what Brad Young said during our conversation. This is not a criminal proceeding, per se, but there's a lot of similarities between the two. However, you just mentioned that this is strictly political. This is, again, you would basically confirm what the president's saying, which is this is a witch hunt.
No, I'm not saying it's a witch hunt. I don't like throwing those terms around. But this is a political exercise.
See, that's a nice civil way to say it.
Yeah. High crime. It's like I forget if it was Gerald Ford or somebody, but somebody asked the question during Watergate, what are high crimes and misdemeanors? Whatever Congress decides they are. There's the if you go back and read the section of the Constitution that talks about impeachment, the president can be impeached for bribery, treason, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, what the heck is that? But Congress decides this. The Judiciary Committee or whoever they decide is going to run the impeachment process decides that. Now, that being said, I think Brad is absolutely correct, although he stole my joke. The most dangerous place in Washington, D.C. is between Chuck Schumer and a TV camera.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty quick to run over there.
But the point is that This is nothing but political grandstanding by both sides. Okay, by both sides. Mm-hmm. And we need to get back to some decorum here. This is a really serious big deal, all right? And we should treat it as such and not have hearings and leaks and everything else that get these guys, you know, 2 minutes of talking points on CNN or Fox News or whatever. You know, this is serious business, and we ought to treat it that way.
All right, John.
And so I'll get off my soapbox now, and thank you for listening to my rant. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you, John. Good to hear from you. Yeah. I'm glad you called in. Good night. Now, he says he listens all the time, which is great. The very first thing that John mentioned at the start of his rant was that, you know, I'm normally pretty balanced, but I'm sounding like Fox News tonight. Here's the thing. I really don't have a certain obligation to act like a journalist. I mean, I'm here and I'm allowed to give opinions, which I do. And it's important for me to give my opinions. And it's also important for me, at least on a personal level, that I allow people to challenge me when they have something that conflicts my opinions or they have something different to say. And I would rather someone call in and tell me I'm wrong and why I'm wrong and being able to do that. And you know, that's the thing. If you hear something on this show and you disagree with it, that gives you the opportunity to call in and tell me why. But I'm coming at it in a very honest way. I'm giving you the thoughts that I have on this. And I have zero effort to try to balance it out like a journalist. I'm just giving you what my opinions are. So I think that's pretty transparent. I mean, that's the basis of almost every talk show. Let me go to John, who's calling in. Hey, John.
Yeah, hey, I haven't heard you in a show in a while. Let me ask you a question. With all these retiring Republicans, is this going to hasten the Democrats to do something quicker than to say if there was more Republicans where, you know, they could maybe stall or try to, you know, stop certain witnesses from coming forward? And another thing is, what is the bullet, I don't know, smoking gun or whatever you want to call it, that the Democrats think that they have that they could impeach Trump? Is it based on just his dealings with, you know, from being president versus his business dealings? Or, I mean, understand, what are they trying to get? Are they still trying to use the Russian thing, or, you know, that Russian and President Putin and Trump colluded to stop the Democrats from winning because, you know, Hillary lost? Or I understand, what is the Democrats' motive? Are they still pissed off because, you know, Hillary lost? Or what are they trying to do with this impeachment? Do they have actual things they can impeach him with, or are they just using this more as a, you know, bailiwick and trying to, you know, get rid of Trump because they're mad they lost the election? Thanks.
All right. Thanks, John. Wow. That's how John works. When he calls in, he always says a few things very quickly, and then he gets off the line for me to answer. All right. This is what I think. I think this is what the Democrats have during this procedure. They have interpretation, so they're interpreting something that they believe is a crime. It's not a clear-cut thing by any means. In fact, I think it could be easily defended from the president's standpoint. But to me, I look at it as bad interpretation of what's been presented so far and been released by the White House. And there's also an inference. So they have this motivation to believe anything the president says or does is always in bad faith. They also infer that when he was saying certain things, that they interpret it in the most cynical, diabolical possible way. And they say, okay, because of our interpretation of what you said, this is how we're going to raise that. It's totally independent from what the facts are. And I think it's totally independent of what the defense is. So when you bring these things together and you bring it up, and I think most objective people that are going to look at this side by side, because right now there hasn't been any ability for the White House or at least President Trump's lawyers to defend other than going on television and talking. Once that starts to happen and people start to look at this, I think they'll realize there's a lot of holes into what they're inferring, the Democrats at this point. There's a lot of holes and there's a lot of questions that could reflect back poorly on them that they're trying to find a way to maneuver around at this moment. Let it be they don't want to call certain witnesses. Let it be they'd want to limit the scope to something. So, you know, the things between the whistleblower and Adam Schiff can't come up. The things between Hunter Biden can't come up. All these other things that are implicated around why the president even brought this up to begin with. These are all problems for the Democrats. So now they don't want those things to come in. They all want it to be one-sided, and they don't want there to be a defense on the president's side. That should be very telling to you. And that's very political. The thing that you should be able to take away from that is this is political. And John from before didn't use the word witch hunt, but you can understand why that term's being used. I certainly do. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back, Overnight America. So many people online right now are chatting about the meteor that went over St. Louis. Wow. Did anyone catch this live? Honestly. I mean, I've seen some dash video surveillance of it. Meteor flying overhead from east to west in O'Fallon. And, you know, all kinds of different video takes of this. Video doorbells picking up on this. You know who else picked up on it? National Weather Service. So, man, we might have to talk about this in a little bit. But before we do, let me get to Barbara, who's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Barbara.
Yes, sir. I don't believe the president should be impeached in the House, but I do believe that when he said on TV twice that to Russia, please give me your emails of Mrs. Clinton, and then now he says on a phone call to the to Ukraine, to the president of Ukraine, please give me some information on Mr. Biden and also his son. I think he's putting himself in a bad position to ask for these things. And that's why the Mueller investigation happened, because he asked for Mrs. Clinton's emails from Russia. But and then they probably, I don't know what they did.
I think all of these things are partially true, but not fully true. So during that phone conversation, I might have to go read the transcript again, but he pretty much said, can you look into this? That's what he didn't say. Can you tell me this or that? He said, can you look into this? And it had to stem with the prosecutor that was pressured, that was looking into it, that was dismissed because of Joe Biden. And because Joe Biden said, we're going to take United States funds off the table unless you cut this out. So there's, I believe there's a little bit, it's partially true. And the same thing with what you're referring to with the emails in Russia. He said, what did he say exactly? He didn't directly ask the Russians to give him emails from Hillary Clinton. He said, maybe the Russians have all these lost Hillary Clinton emails, which were the emails that she was required to hand over, but magically didn't have anymore. So he was requesting something that should have been public anyway, but he wasn't even requesting it. He was saying, maybe the Russians have it. And to me, that's again, it's partially true, but it's not fully true.
Uh-huh. I understand.
Yeah.
The problem is that impeachment thing was set up for treason. Like, we had a man that committed treason, Benedict Arnold. He committed treason because he was a spy for the British and during the American Revolution. That was set up for treason. Mostly the impeachment was.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr.
We got to get going here in just a couple of seconds. So you have any closing thoughts?
What I'm saying is I will support the president and I will vote for him. But what I'm saying in the next election, but I'm saying, maybe he should be more careful
in
everything he says.
I totally agree. Barbara, thank you so much for your call. And she's right. She's right. Sometimes the president will say certain things and I'll think, why did he word it that way? Why did he say it that way? And why do people allow him to continue to tweet? I'll wonder these things. Oh, come on. His life would be so much easier if he just backed off a little bit that way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.